Ben Sipar. This week's parasha, Rabbi said, there are no mitzvahs. How many parashas are there in the Torah that have no mitzvahs? Forgot. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. There are mitzvahs and brachos also. Pre-Revia. And Noach, is there a mitzvah? Noach, go live in the Ulva Sivra Chinuch. Already Lech, you have mitzvahs. Come on, every parasha. You have Bris Mila. You have Gid HaNosha. Even though you know, they were renewed. You have Ritzicha. You have the halacha of in Parashas Noach, if I'm not mistaken, you have a Shefech. No. I don't remember exactly. But in any event, it should have been done more research. Balak is a shocking deviation of a parsha in the middle of the Torah, relatively speaking. No mitzvahs. You know, you can say, the end of the Torah, is there a mitzvah hazinu? It says, V'yata kisvei chemes ha-shirah zayis. Which parsha is that? Is that Vayelech? Okay, but it's not a kasha. The end of the Torah, it could be everyone has a mitzvah, but that's the wind down. That's the end. That's the bookends. When you're in the middle of the Torah, once you start, get going with parashas, with Matan Torah, it's smooth sailing. What is the Torah? The word Torah means instruction. The literal translation of the word Torah means instruction. It is a book of instruction. Torah, Miloshin Torah, instruction. How could it be mamash smack in the middle of all these sodas? Every single parsha here is jam-packed. Oh, Emeski is here. Which parashas do not have any mitzvahs?
Any mitzvahs?
Any mitzvahs. Parashas, I don't remember the whole thing. Okay, but our point over here is that here we are in the middle of the
both
Torah.
I don't think so.
Both of Bereshit does have
the... You have the original Pru-Revu and...
Bereshit is Pru-Revia. Lech Lecha is Milo. Vayera, you have Gid-Anosha. Gid-Anosha. You learn Vayishlach is Gid HaNosha. Okay, you have to go to Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch, I should have done this before, but okay, it's not a problem. But once already we're rallying. Once already we're on a, what's the expression? We're on a roll. One parasha, and all of a sudden comes the parashas Balak.
20% of all the mitzvahs are two parashas.
That's right.
But still, every parasha. Torah is called Hoira, instruction. Instruction. Mitzvahs. HaTorah v'haMitzvahs. How could it be that all we come to a Shabbos in the middle of the Torah, parashas Balak? No mitzvahs.
Well,
a story.
It's not a mitzvah, no.
Vigilante is not something that you know. There's no hoira for being a vigilante. So what's going on over here? So the answer is, this is exactly what the lesson is. In this parsha, is the story of Klal Yisrael. Bilam, indirectly, there are four episodes in this week's parasha where Bilam, he describes the history of Klal Yisrael.
Nope.
That's
the history.
He begins Ki Meroish Surim Erenu, the first section where he begins to describe the Ovois, and then he goes on to describe other dimensions, other recollections of Klal Yisrael. We go through the entire parasha, all the different milas of Klal Yisrael, the description of Klal Yisrael, and all of its various dimensions. And then at the end, he says, "Erenu v'loy ata, ashrenu v'loy karayv," the future of Klal Yisrael. Okay, without going through all the details, which I do not know, which will require, we have to go through all of the midrashim. But in this week's parasha, we go through all the midrashim. We start out the first revelation that Kadosh Baruch Hu puts into the mouth of
Hello.
Okay, the first revelation that Hashem puts into the mouth of Bilam is Ki meroish tsudim erenu umidvois ashurenu. And there, as Rashi explains, this refers to I see the Ovois Hakivoshim. I see the Ovois, the Imois. The Tsur represents the Ovois, the Gvois represents the Imois. And Bilam goes on to describe in Beremez and openly the Milois of the Ovois. In the next two visions, he describes the Milois of Klal Yisrael in later generations. And finally, in the last vision, he describes the future of Klal Yisrael. This, the Etzem, is the ultimate Hoyro. You know, I'll give you an example. Every day, we're learning in the afternoon, the Yud Gimel Animan. 13 principles of faith. You compare all the different versions of the Animan. Rambam, what he wrote originally, what we have in the Siddur, which no one even knows who wrote that in the Siddur. There's a Svarish version, that is a much shorter version, and there's the Piyut of Yigdal. And he analyzed the fine nuances between these four different descriptions of the Yud Gimel Animamins. 12 of the 13 are not mitzvahs. They're not even mitzvahs. From the Yud Gimel Animamins, there is only one Animamin that is a mitzvah deraisa. The first one. Animamim, b'emunah shlema she'abarei, that there is a creator, that there is a ribono shel olam. The other 12, they are not part of the Taryag mitzvahs. They're not part of the Taryag mitzvahs. And yet, this is the most essential hoira for Klal Yisrael. And if you want to be part of the team of a person, in order for a person to be considered a full-fledged Orthodox observant Jew, you have to be a maimon in the Yud Gimel Animamins. What do you mean? I thought Judaism is about observing Taryag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. If the 13 Animamins, 12 of the 13 are not part of the Taryag mitzvahs, how could this be the basics of Judaism? And the answer is, you learn from this, that being part of Klal Yisrael is not totally in mitzvahs. Mitzvahs are instruction, hoira. But the ultimate hoira is to be a maimon. And part of being a maimon is to know where you come from, to know your strengths, to know your weaknesses, and to know where you're heading. This is the ultimate hoira. The ultimate instruction for a Jew is to know who you are. Know who you are. Where do I come from? Who are my parents? Who are my grandparents? Where do they come from? Where do we go back to? You come from Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Ki meroish tsurim erenu, umigvois ashurenu. You come from the tsur and the giver, from the others. This is the instruction I'm giving you. Know where you come from. What is my tafkid? Tafkid is Yiskaber Ka'ari, as it says here, it says in this pasuk, Lo Yishkav Ayoichal Teref, Shochav Ka'arye, all the various, I don't remember all the various psukim over here that describe who you are. Matoivu Oyolecho Yaakov Mishkinosecho Yisrael. The Hoira is to know who you are and to know what is the purpose of all this. What's the goal? The goal is Ashurenu Veloy Erenu Veloyata. Ashurenu Veloy Koroif. There's a future. I see them, but not now. I behold them, but not in the near future. Dorach Keshes Yaakov. The chulu, all the various descriptions of what the goal, where Klal Yisrael is. This is an entire parasha that is all in the category of hoira, of instruction. Part of the Torah is the instruction for a Jew, know who you are, where you came from, your strengths, your purpose, and where you are going. This is an essential chelik of the Torah, and this is interesting. This parsha is always the parsha, the hakdama to the Bein HaMitzad. Especially tomorrow. Tomorrow is Shavas B'Tamos. Even though tomorrow we are not going to fast, but tomorrow is the Bein HaMitzarim. There are five things that happen on Shavas B'Tamos. The walls of Yerushalayim. Mr. Cohen, can I ask you a favor? Can you close the door? The walls of Yerushalayim were breached. They put, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, a Tselem, an Avodah Zarah in a Tselem in the Heichel. Aspasionis burnt a Sefer Torah. Aspasionis. One of the Greek, there's a whole question exactly who did lose a Sefer Torah. One of the Greek kings, he burnt a Sefer Torah, which was incredible Chil Hashem. And the Luchois were shattered. What? Apostemos. Apostemos burnt a Sefer Torah publicly. The Luchois were shattered. The Talmud was bottled. And the walls of Yerushalayim were breached. And the Zorah was put in the Heichel. Five tragedies befell Klal Yisrael tomorrow. And what is the antidote to those five tragedies? Is to read Parshas Balak. Chazal said the Klal and the Anshe Kines HaGadol Be'etzem wanted. They wanted that we should read Parshas Balak every single day as part of Kriya Shema. That was the original intent. So why not? Why not? Tircha de Tzibur. It's just too many words. It's too complicated. It's too much to read. So therefore, Chazal they decided they're not going to read. We're not going to require us to read Parshas Balak. But really, be etzemik. Then we should have read Parshas Balak every single day. Why would Chazal want us to dwell upon Parshas Balak more so than any other parsha? Because it says it's a mention of Kriya Shema. Is that really the reason? Because it says in the pasuk that they don't lie down ad yochal teref, and they rise up like a lion early in the morning with diligence. Is that the pasuk shot? There are many pesukim in Tanakh that allude to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Why don't we go read what it says by Yaakov Avinu when his children gathered around him? They also mentioned that they said Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There are so many different examples all over Tanakh where you can find references to Kriya Shema. What is it about Parshas Balak? What is it about Parshas Balak that Klal Yisrael, that Chazal, the Anshei Knesset HaGadola, had a desire that it should be read every single morning? The answer is, before you enter into Kriya Shema, you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and before you daven Shemona Esrei, know who you are. Just know the basics. Know Jewish history. Know where you come from. Know your koyach. And know where you're going. You cannot serve Hashem. You cannot be mekabel o malchus shemayim unless you know, have an identity, and you have a purpose. This parasha, to a degree, is the ultimate hoyrach. It's not part of the tayag mitzvahs. Just like the 13 principles of faith, the 13 foundational beliefs, foundational principles of Judaism, 12 of those 13 are not part of the tayag mitzvahs. The identity of Klal Yisrael, their koyach, their where they come from, where they're going, is not part of the tayag mitzvahs. Yet it is so basic and so essential. A person be'etzem should not say Kriya Shema until he reads Parshas Balak. A person cannot mourn over the Churban Beis HaMikdash of what happened and what we are supposed to do to rectify the situation, to bring about a third Beis HaMikdash, to go into the future, unless you know what the purpose of all of this is. And to a very large degree, Parshas Balak captures the history and the mission of Klal Yisrael. Mr. Cohen, can I ask you to close that other door? Thank you very much.
Close the outside.
Yeah, that's where it's coming.
The outside.
Oh, the door by the center.
Door.
Okay, this is one idea. Okay, Let's go to another short var which I leave homework to try to figure out the significance of this idea. Let's just quote me this short idea before we go on something much more weighty. But when Balak hired Bilam, in the introduction to the situation, the pasuk says, "Vayogar Moav mibnei ha'am me'oid." The people of Moab were terrified. Okay, this is mamash terror. Why? Ki ravhu. The Jewish people were abundant. Targum says sagi. They were numerous. They were great. The word sagi, you know, you can analyze the word ki rav. Does it mean rav in quality or rav in quantity? They were a force that had to be dealt with. Vayokots Moav. The people of Moab were detested. Okay, we'll come to that word in one moment. Mipnei b'nei Yisrael. Rashi, on this pasuk says, what does it mean by yokots? The word lokots means a thorn. Kotsu b'chayehem. The people of Moab hated themselves. The people of Moab didn't hate the Jewish people. It doesn't say they hated the Jewish people. They hated themselves. Why? Because of the Jewish people. It's very important. This is a very powerful analysis of why do they hate us? Why do the Gentiles hate the Jews? And more often than not, the reason why they hate us, it's not even true. They don't hate us. They really don't. They hate themselves with the most intense hatred. Exactly. That's what I wanted to say. Where else do you have the same exact expression? In the very beginning of Parashat Shemos. Same, now there it's a little bit different, and I leave you as homework to uncover the depth of the difference between the two. V'chasher ya'anu oisoi, ken yirbe v'chen yifroitz, v'yakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael.
But again, there's the parallel of fear of numbers.
Right, so let's read the passage precisely. Let me just find the pasuk. There, Vayakam the Eile Shemais Bnei Yisrael. Okay, Vayomer Elamo here. Uvnei Yisrael Paru Vayishutzu Vayibu Vayatzmu B'Moed Moed Vaytmatzasam Hine Am Bnei Yisrael. The Chasher Yanu Oisay Kain Yirbe. The more they afflicted the Jewish people, the more they increased. Rav. The same exact word, kein yirbeh, but there's an additional word here in Parashas Shemos. V'chein yifroitz. There are two words. In Parashas, Balak, there's only one word. Kiravhu. In Parashas Shemos, it says, the more they afflicted them, kein yirbeh. They were increasing in number. But there's an additional expression, v'chein yifroitz. Pasuk Yud Beis in the Targum says, "V'chomod d'me'anan lohin kein sogan." That's the word for a year. By the same word, "V'chein takfin." They were tough. They were very powerful. Vayakutsu mipnei b'nei Yisrael. The same exact expression. Rashi Pasuk Yud Beis here in Vayakutsu kotsu b'chayehem. They hated themselves. Parshas Balak. It says, Vayokots Moav, Mipnei, same exact words. Mamish, the same exact words, Mipnei B'nei Yisrael. You see over here, incredible thing, two different examples of Jewish history, nations that want to annihilate us, obliterate us. Two different nations. Egypt, they wanted to physically destroy us, to work us to the bone, and to throw us into the Nile, and to physically obliterate us. And then the more sophisticated form of obliteration, genocide, of Midian and Moab, is to get rid of us through cursing us, through the koyach of a klola.
A spiritual
curse, which would be, the result will be the same. Two different forms of obliteration of the face of the earth. And why? Why? Why do you hate us? What did we do to you? What did we do to you? They have to realize, Egypt is not Esav. You know, we have a principle. Halacha biyodua Esav soine Yaakov. Esav, this very interesting thing of different hate. We talk about anti-Semitism. We always like talking about this topic. Anti-Semitism is not a black and white topic. There are multiple dimensions in anti-Semitism, and there are multiple different types of enemies. When you talk about why do they hate us, first identify who is they. Are we dealing with Arabs, the Arab world? Are we dealing with the Western civilization, the descendants of those who have the ideology of Esav, Edom? Who is they? And then we come across every once in a while people or nations that are nishtaher. They're not part of Yishmael. They have not embraced that ideology. They're not part of Esav. Esav hates the Jewish people. It says in the pasuk, Halacha biyadua, Esav soyne Yaakov. They have a good reason. I mean, why? Because they feel, subconsciously or in the spiritual world, that the barachos of the world were meant to go to the Bechor. The Bechor is Esav. And who came along and stole those brachas? Yaakov. Yaakov, he made a deal with Esav for a bowl of porridge, that I'll give you the bowl of porridge and you give me the brachas. You give me the Bechorah. And then Yaakov in disguise went into Yitzchak in disguise and got the brachas. They went to court. This is illegal. We didn't know. Azoy and Azoy and Azoy. They feel that they have been, that something has been taken from them. Of course, they're totally wrong, but they have in their mind this belief that the blessing that the Jewish people have is theirs. So they hate us because we have in their perverted, demented mind, they think that we took away something from them. We took away nothing from you. They demented. They think we took away something from you. Christianity is the same thing. They think that we killed their God. Nonsense. Total nonsense. Just like they think that Yaakov Avinu took their firstborn. We didn't take your God. We didn't take your firstborn, right? Nonsense. But they, in their mind, they have this demented belief. So they actually have real hate because they've made up something imaginary. Yishmael, they hate us because Sarah Imenu said to Avram, Goresh es ben ho'amo hazos ki lo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. He has a chip on his shoulder. Their father kicked him out of the house. You're not getting a Yerusha. Why? I'm the Bechor. I'm also the Bechor. Yishmael was the Bechor. Where does Sarah come to go tell our father we should get lost? They hate us because they lost something. Midian? Who is Midian? Is Midian a descendant of Esav? No. Midian is a whole different world. Go to the United Nations. There are how many nations in the United Nations? 160-something?
More than that,
whatever. And all of a sudden, there's a resolution against the state of Israel. And the Arab bloc, they all vote, clobber the Jewish state. And then there is the Western civilization, all those, and all of them aloft, And then there are these nations you never even heard of before. These have nothing to do with Yishmael, nothing to do with Esav, nothing to do with the Jewish people. Why didn't you vote? Why did you vote to against the Jews? What's it to you? What's it to you? So some of them taka say, I don't know. Monkey see, monkey do. They taka admit that. But some of them say, no, we don't like them. Why is there in this world hatred? That's this parsha. That's Egypt, and that's Parshas Noah. When they see a Jew, and they see a life that has value, has morals, has purpose, mission, has a history. Klal Yisrael, they've created something. And they look at themselves and they see shallowness, emptiness, no purpose, no goals. They hate themselves. We unfortunately are a trigger for them hating themselves, and the frustration of hating themselves, they unleash on us because we are the trigger. Our success is the trigger for them hating themselves. So when they hate themselves, they will kill themselves. But you don't want to harm yourself. So instead, you harm the trigger of why I hate myself. That's the whole parasha. Whole parasha's bola is that's where whole parasha's bola comes from. So what are we supposed to do? The Haftarah tells us what it's supposed to be. The very last words of the Haftarah. No, I don't have an answer. You have an answer?
Yeah, because when they want to do a physical violence, so we grow physically.
Okay. It's a question. It's not our topic. You cannot ignore the fact that we have two examples of in the Torah of nations who wanted to destroy us because they hated us, and the hatred is not because they actually hate us. The hatred is they hate themselves, and we are the trigger for them hating themselves. And Moab and Egypt have to be separated from Yishmael and Esav. Yishmael and Esav hate us for different reasons. But why does Mitzrayim hate us? Why does Moab hate us? They hate us because when they look at us and they see success, they see purpose, it triggers within them a frustration. Why are we live such empty lives? And we, the Jews, are a constant reminder of their emptiness. So they unleash the hatred that they have for themselves upon us. And you know something that's very dangerous? You know why it's very dangerous? Because the hatred a person can have for themselves is much, much greater than the hatred you have for someone else. When you have a friend, what? When you have a friend, think about the human condition. If someone goes and harms you, when someone harms you, you hate them. You hate them for what they've done to you. Okay? Measure that hatred on a scale of 1 to 10. Put down a number. It's very unlikely that the Jewish people can do something so bad to the Goyim that they hate us on the level 10. What did Klal Yisrael do to Esav? We did nothing to them. But they imagine in their demented minds that we stole from them the firstborn right. They don't really care about it. That's really the truth. They couldn't really, because if they really cared, he wouldn't have sold it. They don't really care do avoiding the Beis HaMikdash. What do they really care? Well, they want Eretz Yisrael. Esav doesn't want Eretz. They couldn't care less. Biden couldn't wait to get out of there.
Nobody wanted it until we got it.
No, they don't care. They don't. Teeny little land. They don't really care. But they're angry because they imagine we stole something from them. Yishmael, they're angry because Sarah kicked them out. They have plenty of their own. What do they need there? So measure their hatred on a scale of 1 to 10. You'll put down a number, but it's not 10. When a person hates themselves, self-hate, when a person wakes up one day, has a midlife crisis, you wake up one morning, what's the purpose of all this? Where am I going? Wasting my time doing this, I made this mistake, that mistake, and a person comes to hate themselves. It is the human condition. The hatred you have for yourself can be 10 plus plus plus.
You have the same problem internally, the problem of self-hating Jews.
The same thing. The worst enemies of the Jewish people are self-hating Jews because they hate themselves. And then they take it out. When a person hates themselves, it's 10 plus plus. And when they explode and unleash their hatred, the venom they unleash against who's ever in their vicinity, and in this case, the one that triggered that hatred, can be much, much more lethal than the hatred someone has because you've harmed them. And that's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. We have many different types of enemies. Esav, Yishmael, and this is a different category of hate. It's a hate not because we've done anything to them. It's a hate because we remind them that they hate themselves, that they have nothing, and they hate themselves, and they unleash it upon us. And what is the solution to deal with this hatred? Don't show off in front of them. Just don't trigger. It's an easy way to combat the problem. Esav, they're looking for the culprit. Who killed our God? Where are they? They put out a warrant for their arrest. They put out a search. Dealing with Egypt, dealing with Moab, just don't walk down the street. Just keep your distance. Hatznea leches. What's the last words of this week's of the Haftarah? Ki higid lo adam ma toif. Umo Hashem elokecho doire shnei moch. Ki ima asois chesed, asois mishpat v'chesed, v'hatsneya leches in elokecho. The take away from this week's parsha is vayokot moyov mipnei b'nei Yisrael. When they look at us, they hate themselves. The hate they have for themselves mushrooms into this intensity where they are out of control and will do anything they possibly can to obliterate the Jewish people. So there's a solution. You know what the solution is? Don't walk down the block. Don't be the trigger. Hatsnea leches in elokecha. That's the takeaway from the Haftarah. Kigid l'cho odom matoiv umor Hashem doresh mimcha kiim asois mishpat v'ahav aschesed v'yatsnei aleches im elokech. Alright, let's go to another idea. We're out of time. I want to go to another idea. In this idea, I wanted to take note that in this parasha, we find Balak moving around. The first time Balak meets Bilam. So he brings him to a certain location, to the chutzos. He brings them and he shows them, he brings them to a certain location and to the metropolis. He takes them to the Times Square. They shut down and he says, look at what we have here in Moab. Look at the metropolis. Look at Kiryas Chutzos. He takes them to the Kiryas, Rashi explains Kiryas Chutzos. He took it there, he took Bilam to the World Financial Center. He took him to Times Square. And he said, look at the economy, look at the traffic, look at the people, look at this. Do you know we have an enemy by the name of the Jewish people that wants to destroy this, to obliterate this? It's total baloney nonsense. Total crazy. Klal Yisrael has no interest in anything to do with this.
Propaganda.
Total propaganda. Total outrageous lies. He takes him to the Kiryas Chutzos, Rashi says, to the Ir Metropolis, to the center of the city of Moab, where all of the commerce and activity was taking place. Look at what we got here. Look what we got here. Do you know that the Jewish people, they got their finger on the nukes? They're going to destroy this incredible culture, civilization, society. You got to do something for us, Bilam. You got to destroy them. You got to save us. Have rachmanis, right? Rachim! Have rachmanis upon us. This is the outrageous, outrageous lies. The most outrageous lies. Why did he lie? Rashi says, Hasina mikalkeles es hashur. When a person has hate, you'll do anything. You see in politics today, you see what goes on in the January 6th Unselect Committee. What? Hasina mikalkeles es hashur? It is an unbelievable, outrageous lies because of intense hatred for a person. What you can do. It's mamash yana biyoma. Okay, that's not even the point I want to make. The point I want to make over here is that he took him to a mokoim. To a mokoim to trigger a reaction. It didn't work. What did he do next? Let's try to go to a different place. Let's go to the Beis HaKavaris. Somebody did. Let's go. Mayor Appeldorf, he's the world-renowned expert in going to all the Beis HaKavaris in the world. Let's go to the Beis HaKavaris of the grave that no one even knows of, where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried.
Mm-hmm.
It seems he did, to some degree. It says to the location, to the vicinity of where Moshe is buried. Why? Because this is a good place where the curse will work. Why? Because Moshe was their leader, and if their leader is no longer, they're weak, they're vulnerable. This is the place. It didn't work. Let's go to a new place. We'll go to the place of Pa'or, the place where the Jewish people sinned. They sinned in this location, this damage. It's a reminder of their chatoyim, for sure in this location, the chait will succeed. Rashi says a lot of this. Rashi says that Balak was a bigger koisein than Bilam. His expertise lied in location. He probably was a real estate broker before he became a king. He was an expert in real estate. In real estate, what's the rule? You only need to know three words if you're a real estate agent.
Location.
Location, location, location. PhD, Wharton, all you gotta know to pass the test, Wharton Business School, to know how to manipulate real estate. Location, location, location. This was Balak. Rashi says this. What was this? What do I need Bilam for? What do I need this? I know the locations. Where they're weak. You know time. Time is your expertise. The ace. The precise moment. Bilam said, you know, I tried. I went to the kever of Moshe and was mispalel for the churban of Klal Yisrael. Didn't work. I went to Pa'or, the church of Pa'or, where the Jewish people sinned. It didn't work. I went to the metropolis and I said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, these are people. We got a lot of people over here. They're a threat to us. It didn't work. So I see that location is not enough. You need also Zaman. There's an element of Zaman that's also an important component. So, Zman. So, Bilam, stay home. It's like today. Zoom. Sit at home. You sit at home. And you'll figure out the right Zman. And we'll do Zoom. And the right Zman, you'll go and you'll issue the curse. Obviously, just knowing the Zman, the precise moment, is not going to work. You got to be here in the goof. You got to show up. Live streaming is not going to work. Knowing the precise moment is not enough. But we have a magic combination. What's the magic combination? Zman and Mokoyim together is an out-of-the-ballpark home run. But wait a minute. There's another component in this world. And that's called Neshama. Now let's clarify. This is a principle which is a very popular principle in the holy books, the Sifri Machshava. The world is divided into three dimensions. In the rabbinic literature, they're called Nefesh, Olam, Shana. Okay, very popular concept in rabbinic literature. Nefesh, Olam, Shana. Nefesh means the person, the soul. Spirituality. Shana means year. It's a code word for Zaman. Year. Olam is a code word for location. The way to really appreciate this is so super simple. It's Yom HaKippurim. What is the highlight of Yom HaKippurim? The Kohen Gadol enters into the Kodesh HaKodoshim. What is happening at this moment? The Kohen Gadol is the elite, the Shamna Psalta of the Nefesh of Klal Yisrael. He goes into the Kodesh HaKodoshim, is the Mokoyim, the holiest Mokoyim in the world, the place where no one may enter. When does he do this? Zman, on the holiest day of the year. Okay, very simple way to illustrate the principle of Olam, Nefesh, and Shana. The Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim is Nichnas Lifnai V'Lifnai. The holiest Neshama entering into the holiest Mokoyim during the holiest time of the year, at the holiest time of the year. Olam, Nefesh, Neshama. The whole world comes down to these three dimensions. You want to be Machriv Klal Yisrael? What is the koich of Klal Yisrael? In the beginning of the parasha, Rashi says, conversation between Bilam and Balak, to know thine enemy. Who is your enemy? Why did he hire this person? This person, Bilam. Bilam is going to curse. The curse Klal Yisrael. Why? Because what is the koyach of Klal Yisrael? Koil. Hakoil, koil, Yaakov. The koyach of Klal Yisrael is Torah and Tefillah, which is encapsulated in the term koil. Hakoil, koil, Yaakov. What is koil? We have to go in a little bit deep here is when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon Vayipach Be'apov Nishmas Chayim, when the neshama of man went online, when all the green lights lit up, Vayipach Be'apov Nishmas Chayim Targum Unkelis Vahavis Le'odon L'ruach mimalino. Dibur, speech, koil. The essence of the neshama is captured in the koyach hadibur. The neshama, the nishma, l'ruach, v'havis, v'yibach, v'nishmas chayim. The neshama, l'ruach mimalino. Klal Yisrael has mastered one of the three dimensions of this world. The dimension of nefesh. Bullock says, they have nefesh. I have oilam. But oilam can't conquer nefesh. It's shoveh. Shoveh b'shoveh. You have a third, I have a third. But if I bilam, Bilam's expertise lies in Zman, the precise moment. But Bilam on his own can't conquer Klal Yisrael. But Balak and Bilam get together. Oh, that's a good idea. That's a powerful concept. Roiv, to combine two-thirds of the elements upon which this world stands, Oilam and Shana, that was the plan. Oilam and Shana can conquer, they felt, they thought, they believed, the koyach of the neshama. The story of Parshas Balak is, they're wrong. They're wrong. The koyach of nefesh is so powerful. They have koil kol Yaakov. It's not just a mute. Ki atem hama'at mikol ho'an. Loi mechochmaschem. Did Hashem choose Klal Yisrael? Not because of your sophistication. Ki atem hama'at mikol ho'an. But the koyach of the kiddush of Klal Yisrael, of nefesh, although on paper and in science, we should fail. But that's the lesson of the parasha. The koyach of the neshama, hakoil kol Yaakov, can overpower even the synthesis of a war of zman and mokon. That's the story of Klal Yisrael and Golus. Klal Yisrael and Golus has gone through tekufos, zmanim, that are very dangerous. A zman of Hester Ponim. The Anochi Hester Aster Ponai Bayoim Ahu. There have been zmanim of Bayoim Ahu of Hester Ponim. We have traveled the world, Jewish history. Have gone, there's not a place in this world where Klal Yisrael has not traveled. All in hostile, in dangerous territory. Living among, in Germany, amongst the Nazis, in Poland, the Polacks, in Ukraine, in Russia. Horrific, horrific Mekoimais surrounded by, a Mekoimais surrounded by wicked people who want nothing more than to destroy Klal Yisrael. In Tekufais of history, of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Anochi Haster Aster Ponai, Bayei Mahu. And yet, V'netzach Yisrael lo yishake. We're still here today. Impossible. Follow the science. The science. The world has only three parts. There are only three dimensions. There's nefesh. There is oilam, and there's shana. 66 and two-thirds. We're only 33. We master hakol kol yakov. The ruach limal of the neshama. How does this work? That's the answer. Is this is not a science. The toigesh of the kol kol yakov, which is the essence of the neshama, has the koyach to be misgaber even over a merger of masters of zamanin that are not in our favor and mokoy that's not in our favor. And the proof is we're still here. That's the proof. That's the story of the parasha spoke. Don't underestimate the tool you have. And the foolish people, our foolish enemies, they always imagine the reason why we fail is because we're missing this ingredient.
Because of bad messaging.
But you always see what? The reason why we try, because we don't have this element in our portfolio. So all we need to do is merge with someone that has what we're missing. And then together we, there is nothing stopping us. I want to go with one last vart. Last vart is short, very short vart. In the very beginning of the parasha, Balak is negotiating with Hashem. Balak is mamish delusional. Bilam, you read the Rashi, what goes through the mind of Bilam, it's hilarious. It's almost as hilarious what goes on today in the world of politics in America. Doesn't match the delusional conversations that Bilam has when he says to Hashem, when he says to Balak, and he thinks he can outsmart. It's unbelievable some of the things when you see when a person is has an agenda, the person is crazy. The insanity. Mamish, he has a very good defense, Bilam. Plead insanity. You should just plead insanity. He'll get off the hook. It's not a joke. It's mamish, the things that. And part of it, and Hashem finally says to him, listen, you want to go? Hashem says, im likroy l'cha. Hashem says, listen, you want to go? I'll tell you what. What is your kavanah? If you are going because you want the money, they're going to pay you $1 billion for this, for the sochar. If the reason what? Im likroy l'cha. Rashi on this pasuk says, l'cha. If the reason why you want to go is because you want a nice paycheck and you really couldn't care less about what you're doing, I couldn't care less what I'm doing. A surgeon, why you have a patient in front of you. Why are you doing surgery today to this patient? Money. I want to make, I do this surgery, I come home tonight with $100,000. Do I care about the patient? I couldn't care less if he drops dead tomorrow. Couldn't care less. That's one type of surgeon. And then you have another surgeon. My only goal is I want him to live. It happens to be that the insurance company wants to pay me. There's a policy. I get money. Very nice. I'm very happy. My wife will be very happy. But my heart is not in the bank. I have enough money in the bank for the rest of my life. I do chesed. I do surgery. I help people live. Do you really feel the Jewish people are a threat to the world? And you want to curse them because of your hatred? Don't go. I don't give you permission. But if you want the money, you want to bring home tonight a check of $100,000. And no, this is what your parnassah is. Your parnassah is you curse people. You don't have a conscience. You don't care. You're not a religious, moral person. You bring home the money. I don't care. You can go. Gesundheit, go. Question. How could Hashem say that? How could Hashem say that? The bottom line is he's going to curse us. Even though he doesn't care,
he's
going to
try.
But he's going to do it at this point in time. Hashem is saying, go, go. We don't know that he's going to try. We don't know what's going to happen at it. How could Hashem allow this? What about us? What about us? And the answer is, let him do all he wants. What does it say in the Mishnah? Antignois ish soichai kiblu meha. Al tihi ka'avodim ha'misham shemes sarav al menas lekabel socha. Elo hevi ka'avodim ha'misham shemes sarav shaloy al menas lekabel socha. If you're doing this because you want the money, you know something? You can do all you want. You can say all the curses you want. It's worthless. You're an eved that's mishamesh derav al manas lekabel sochar. You'll never see success in anything that you do. No, because you're not going to be successful. If you're going because you believe in it, you believe in the mission, then you're being mishamesh esarav al manas sheloy lekabel pas. You're a danger to society. The people who really believe in what they do are very dangerous. The people who make trouble, there are people out there in the world that make a lot of trouble. A lot of crazy people out there. You look at the politics also. There are people there that just want COVID. They want to read the newspaper, Mishagoyim, egomaniacs, megalomaniacs, much crazy people. You know, a lot of them are not so dangerous. They're not so dangerous. Just Mishagoyim. They'll be voted out before you turn around. But there are people out there who really believe in this. They believe in what they're doing. Those people are very dangerous. Because they're avodim ha-mishamishim esarav shaloy al-manas. Hashem said, you want to go make trouble? Go! Go! As long as it's just for the money. Just for your pension. But if you're a believer and you happen to be getting money also, that's a big danger. The Musar Haskel is for us. We have the real deal. We are blessed to have the real deal. We have everything. And we, Chas V'Sholom, should not fall into the trap where there is Sochar and to focus, to lose the priority, to lose our bearings of what's the real thing. What is the priority? There's Sochar all over the place. Baruch Hashem. You live in America. Medina Shel Chesed. You do good things. There's kavod, there's money. You help people, this. But don't fall into the trap of it being Meshamesh Esarav Al Manas Lekabel Sochar, because then there's no Siyat Hashem. There's no the same way that he will have no success. He's not a danger. Zeh luma zeh, our avoida is not going to succeed, even though we have everything going for us. There has to be the element of being sincere, wholesome, pure, with truth and meaning, and your shemayim. That is where the success lies. Rabbis, have a wonderful Shabbos. Have a meaningful and easy fast. The Mirtz of Sunday is Sunday. Shavuos v'Tammuz. And the Mirtz Hashem, we will resume Monday morning. Monday morning. Okay, Rabbis.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Amen. 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 Amen.